Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Morning, we're going to finish this short two-part series that we started last week, and I've entitled it, What's in Your Wallet? And yes, I got that question from the Capital One commercial that's been around for the last 25 years or so. Last week, we talked about the fact that in our wallets, our billfolds, our purses, we usually have some form of identification. And so you can look in there, and we did that last week. And we have all kinds of ways in which we can be identified, but from a spiritual perspective, the most important identification we can have is our identity in Christ Jesus, an identity that comes when we make a decision to become a Christian. And God adds us to his family, the church. Now, for today's message, I'm not going to ask you to take out your wallets, billfolds, purses, as we did last week. I just want to ask a simple question. How many of you carry pictures in your wallet? Now, as modern technology continues to advance, it has become much more popular to carry pictures in your cell phones or in your PDAs. Someone said that means your personal digital assistant. I didn't know that. But many people still carry photos in their wallets. Now, I confess to you, I don't carry any family photos in my wallet anymore. It's not that I'm ashamed of my family at all. I just don't like to have too much crammed in my wallet. I can tell you I've got many pictures back in my office and many, many more pictures on my phone. And so it begs the question, why is it that most people like to have quick access to family pictures or other pictures? And my guess is it's because those pictures represent people who are precious to us, or they capture special memories on print. And then I got to thinking, what if Bible characters had carried pictures in their wallets? Do you think Adam would have carried a picture of Eve? And after I thought about that, I got to think, I better not go too far with that one. Would Abraham and Sarah have had a photo of Isaac? Would Isaac have a picture of Esau while his wife Rebekah kept a picture of Jacob? And speaking of playing favorites, would Jacob carry a picture of Rachel but not Leah? And I'm guessing he certainly would have had photos of his favorite sons, Joseph and his youngest Benjamin. Solomon would have probably had the biggest picture album of all, even if he kept only a portion of his 700 wives and 300 concubines. And then moving to the New Testament, my guess is Mrs. Zebedee would be showing off James and John's baby pictures. Mary and Martha, if they had pictures of their brother Lazarus, would probably have been looking at them after he died. Can you imagine what they were thinking after being in the tomb for 4 days and Jesus raised him from the tomb? I'm sure those pictures would have been put away again, and they would have no doubt, if they could have, taken some more pictures. Do you think Paul would have a picture of Barnabas, or maybe his true son in the faith, as he described Timothy? Well, the list could go on. But I'm wondering how many of you have ever lost your wallet or had it stolen. Because if you have, chances are that the money lost would be the least of your concerns. Most likely, the IDs and the credit cards would create a larger concern. And yet, for many, the biggest loss, at least as far as sentimental value is concerned, might be those irreplaceable items like photos. Because they're precious memories of those you love. So maybe a more appropriate question today is, who's in your wallet? Who are some of the people in our lives that we should be thinking about as we serve our Lord Jesus and his church? That's what I want to focus in on. So I'm going to talk about our spiritual wallets. Who should we be thinking about? Whose picture should be in our minds as we serve Jesus? A careful look at the main text for this sermon, Hebrews 13, 1 through 8, takes us through the picture section of a person's spiritual wallet. We're going to look at some other verses as well, but before we do, as we always do, let's ask God for his wisdom and understanding as we open his word up for these few moments. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and trust knowing that you are here with us. You have given us your word. It's been preserved down through the centuries. And Lord, it's a word that helps us to live the way you want us to live. And as we study a portion of that truth today, we ask for your help. We ask for your wisdom and your understanding as we talk about some of the people in our lives that we need to be thinking about. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you thought enough about us that you sent your son Jesus to die. Lord, help me. Give me the strength to preach in a way pleasing to you. May it be helpful and encouraging and challenging to those who are here or are listening. And we're going to give you all the praise for the spiritual pictures that we have in our wallets. Thank you. Bless your word in our time is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Here are some pictures that may be found there, meaning in our spiritual wallets. Number one, pictures or photos of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, it's very simply stated in Hebrews 13, verse 1, but it should not be taken for granted. The Bible says, let love of the brothers and sisters continue. And he's talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you take the time to browse through the beginning and ends of many of those New Testament letters that we have recorded for us, you would see the way the writers, especially Paul, addresses his brothers and sisters, whom he had grown to love so much. You'll find warm greetings. You'll find commendations, words of heartfelt encouragement. You'll find exchanges of deep affection. And I believe it's true that we certainly share a bond with each other, our church family. When you are a Christian, some of the most meaningful and precious relationships you have are in the fellowship of believers. And God is fanning the flame of brotherly love right here in Hebrews chapter 13. And I don't know about you, but I love my church family. I love my church family. Some of my most meaningful relationships and friendships are in this church and other churches where I've had the privilege of serving. I will never forget the love and concern shown to us. I was preaching at the Battle Run Christian Church in Kentucky in 2000 when our son Clint died. And I remember five of the leaders, a couple of days after he passed away, driving the 90 miles from the church up to Cincinnati just to spend the evening with Debbie and me. And how encouraging they were and how much love and support they showed. And that little congregation of 90, I think every single person showed up, drove to Cincinnati for either the calling hours or the funeral. And I will never forget that. I will never forget that outpouring of love and support. They made sacrifices for us, and we were deeply touched, but not surprised, because love of the brothers and sisters continue. And I have witnessed here how much that you love each other in many, many different ways. The closeness of the small groups that meet here. The times when we've been able to fellowship together in many ways. It doesn't matter where you go. The love of Christ abounds in his church. And whenever I have gone somewhere to participate in Christian fellowship, whether it's a bean dinner, whether it's a revival somewhere, whether it's meetings here, whether it's COPA meetings, whether it's other churches when we've been on vacation, I have been met with gracious Christian hospitality. Wayne Smith used to tell this story about a man who went to see his dentist. Now, this guy didn't like to go to dentists, and he had a little bit of a fear of dentists. Well, the dentist this particular day was trying to remove a bad tooth, but every time he attempted to remove it, the man would involuntarily clamp his jaw shut. Now, I guess they have these things that you put in your mouth today, but back then they didn't have that. So the dentist was becoming frustrated, and he made an agreement with his assistant. He pulled her aside. He said, here's what I want you to do. Just at the right moment, I want you to pinch the patient on the backside with those long fingernails of yours. And when he opens his mouth to yell, I will quickly extract the tooth. Well, everything went according to plan. The dental assistant pinched the man, and as he opened his mouth to yell, the dentist pulled out his tooth. Then he patted the man on his back, and he said, "Now there, that wasn't so bad, was it?" The man said, "Well, no, it wasn't. But I had no idea that the roots went down that deep." I tell that story to say this. In spiritually strong relationships, the roots go deep. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 10, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Now, I've heard people say, maybe you said, all we need is God's love, and there is a sense in which that is true. But I also believe that God knows that we need to share in a compassionate, affectionate way with our church family. And I am not yet, nor do I think I ever will be, to the point in my spiritual walk where I can say, I don't need your love anymore, because I do. And this is so important. John says in 1 John 3, verse 14, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. The one who does not love," meaning those in the church, "remains in death." The point being made is that the presence of brotherly love is a witness to our salvation. In fact, that's what Jesus told his apostles. It was the presence of brotherly love that would prove to the world that their faith was real. Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If we truly love one another, the resulting fellowship will be that others will want to share in that fellowship. Who's in your wallet? I realize we live in a society that has constantly shifting standards. I realize that we all have shaky relationships. There's fractured homes. There's redefined families. Yet the bonds that we share in Jesus Christ are priceless. So as the Hebrew writer tells us, let love of the brothers and sisters continue. Now let's look in our spiritual wallets again. I hope that we have photos of strangers and prisoners, because the writer of Hebrews says we should. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. "Do not neglect hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are badly treated, since you yourselves also are in the body." Now, we do a pretty good job of being kind to strangers, but are we offering hospitality to them? Now, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for some of the ministries that we have here, like the Angel Tree Program, where we're helping strangers at that time with Christmas gifts for their children. The benevolent ministry that we have, we've helped hundreds of families over the years. And that's not really well known, but people call in here that need help with bills, and we'll do that. The prisoners mentioned here were most likely other Christians who were in prison because of their faith. Now, there may not be a lot of Christians in prison, but there is definitely a need of prison ministry. So the question is, are we doing enough? Do you have pictures of strangers and prisoners in your spiritual wallet, in your mind? Do you know someone that you've helped in the last year who is a stranger to you? And I'm wondering, what else can we do to impact the needy in this community for Jesus? I know one thing. I know there's youth that need mentoring at the Frasersburg Elementary School because they're struggling in some way and they need a mentor. And that's a tremendous ministry that we've had here for many years. How many lonely nursing home residents never get a visitor? You know, that's one of the things that I've been surprised about in all my years of going into nursing homes. I've talked to nurses on countless occasions who have told me that there are many people living in nursing homes today who do not get one visitor the entire year. Not one. I realize we can't help everybody, but who are you befriending? It makes a difference to that person that we're reaching out to in love. Now, to put the passage here in proper context, I believe the Hebrew writer is primarily referring to other Christians that may be in prison or being mistreated because of their faith. And I think the idea is to be sure to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters who are going out on a limb for the Lord and may be suffering for it, but it's not limited to that. We don't live today in a primitive, hostile, or even indifferent environment. Here in the United States, we're able to freely come, although the opposition to Christianity is increasing. But we also know there are Christians in another part of the world who are struggling, that have challenges. I mean, I think of some people that we support from our missions. I've shared many times before about C.Y. Kim and the impact he's had on me and his son now, Thomas, who's running the CRAM ministry, Christ Reaching Asia mission. Their struggles in North Korea and China. I think of the Thomas family in India and the struggles they have. We just need to be sure that we keep all strangers and prisoners in our spiritual wallets. And third, I wouldn't be surprised if you had photos of your spouse and family, and you should. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. And I think the point the writer is making here is that good families start with solid marriages. Now, in our family, Debbie does a pretty good job of keeping photo albums of our family, especially when we're on vacation, and I appreciate that. You know, it's fun to look at family pictures and reminisce about all the good times, isn't it? I mean, that's fun to do. But it can also be just a little bit embarrassing to do that. Believe it or not, I used to have hair, and it was dark hair. And believe it or not, I used to weigh under 200 pounds. I did, one time in my life. Now, I doubt there are many here this morning who don't value their family. Now, yes, there's going to be issues and problems that arise in families, but they're still family, and you love them, and you should. But we also must show our family members how much we care. And sometimes we don't do that consistently. John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 18, little children, let's not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, I'm praying that your family is more than just a picture in your wallet. I read this following article in a church newsletter. Thought I'd share it today. Eb was in trouble, it starts. He forgot Valentine's Day. His wife was really mad. So she told him, tomorrow morning, I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds, and it better be there. Next morning, Ed got up early, left for work, and when his wife woke up, she looked out the window, and sure enough, there was this small box, gift-wrapped in the middle of the driveway. Well, she was confused by that, but curious, so she put on a robe, she ran out to the driveway, she brought the box back into the house, she opened it up, and she found a brand new bathroom scale. 0 to 200 in less than 6 seconds. The article ends in this way, funeral services for Ed have been scheduled for Friday. Well, that's a funny illustration. Well, let me give you a more serious one. And many of you can identify with this illustration. It's a true story, and certainly I can identify with this. Roger Zerbe suffered from an early onset of Alzheimer's disease. His wife, Becky, remembers a journal entry he left for her after a day of he was just really struggling with forgetfulness. She reminisces, and this is what she says. I picked up the journal one night and read what he had written. He had said this, honey, today fear is taking over. The day is coming when all my memories of this life we share will be gone. In fact, you and the boys will be gone from me. I will lose you even as I am surrounded by you and your love. I don't want to leave you. I want to grow old in the warmth of memories. Forgive me for leaving so slowly and painfully. His wife was blinking back tears. And she said, as she picked up her pen to write, my sweet husband, what will happen when we get to the point where you no longer know me? I will continue to go on loving you and caring for you, not because you know me or remember our life, but because I remember you. I will remember the man who proposed to me and told me he loved me. The look on his face when his children were born. The father he was, the way he loved our extended family. I'll recall his love for writing, hiking, and reading, his tears at sentimental movies, the unexpected witty remarks, and how he held my hand while we prayed. I cherish the pleasure, obligation, commitment, and opportunity to care for you because I will always remember you. I like that story. God is not so much teaching us to put family pictures in our wallets, but to place our families as a high priority in our hearts and in our lives. God is asking you to assign the right value to your family and to the other people the Bible designates. Two more photos we can get from this passage. Photos of church leaders and those who led you to Christ. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their way of life, imitate their faith. All of us should have a soft spot in our hearts for the ones who have mentored us in our faith, who have led us to Christ. How often do you take the time to thank your church leaders and those who shared Christ with you? Can we ever thank them enough? This passage refers to, includes, all of our church leaders and teachers. And as I was preparing this sermon, I was reading this verse, I just couldn't help but think back into all the various Christians who influenced me at impressionable times in my life. And it started with Debbie when we were in high school and we began dating. And I thought I was a Christian, but she was living the life. She introduced me to Tony Maple, the preacher at North Terrace, who would come over every week and study the Bible with me. I remember Joey Robinson, who baptized me. And Ed Bousman became my favorite preacher, even though at first I couldn't stand him. But after I became a Christian, he became my favorite preacher. And then after I became a Christian, Jim Derry and Jay Wilson early on helped me in my Christian walk. Jack Cottrell, Paul Frisney, Dan Lang, and when I moved back up here, Bill Mage, have continued to help me and mentor me as I've served the Lord. And those are just some of the leaders in my wallet. It would also include our elders here at Meadowview, Tyler, JW, and others of you who have helped me along the way, and I appreciate it. Did you know that in the United States, 1 billion Valentines are sent each year? Did you know the number one recipient of Valentine gifts? It's not wives, it's not sweethearts, it's not boyfriends or girlfriends, it's not friends. The number one recipient of Valentine's each year is teachers. According to the writer of Hebrews, church leaders and teachers deserve a place of honor in your spiritual wallet. I hope that you have them there. One more picture we need to have in our spiritual wallets, a photo of Jesus. His picture will never fade. His love and his character are constant. He is to be our forever love. Verse 8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he should always be in our minds. If you carry pictures in your wallet, chances are you put the dearest picture that you have on top. Your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Jesus is mentioned last in this passage, not because he is least important, but because he is most important. In this case, the best was saved for last. He is to be the most valuable person in your wallet and in your life. It was Jesus who clarified the priorities of his followers in Matthew 10, verse 37, when he said this, "The one who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." It doesn't matter who else you value or the other pictures you have in your wallet. The one on top needs to be Jesus. There's a very interesting statement made by Peter that is relevant to the fact that Jesus must be first on our priority list. It's found in Matthew 19, beginning of verse 27. The Bible says, "Then Peter responded and said to him," meaning Jesus, "Behold, we've left everything and followed you. What then will be there for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or farms, on account of my name, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." That's the benefit of having Jesus first. Now, here's what I believe happens. When you make Jesus your number one relationship, he multiplies your other meaningful relationships. And when you love him more than you love your own family, he not only deepens your family relationship, he gives you a new family called the church. In fact, I believe some of you would probably testify that you are closer to and probably share a deeper, more meaningful bond with your brothers and sisters in Christ than anyone else on the planet. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 8, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." I just want one quick thing. I just want to encourage you in this way. Carry the one that you love the most, and it should be Jesus. Carry the one that you love the most with you at all times. May he never leave your spiritual wallet. So who is precious to you? Who are you pleased with? Who do you pray for? Who is in your wallet? Who do you think about on a daily basis? Well, I hope you think about some of the ones that the Hebrew writer mentions in Hebrews chapter 13. But as we end today, the number one priority in relationships has to be the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope that you have a great relationship with him.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.